It has been a long time. But it's been a privilege, really, it has, to work with the different co-workers we've had over the years. And the Lord's allowed us to be part of several churches, and it's a blessing to see the lives that have been changed through the gospel. It really is. Like Marco said, it's sad when we do hear about a church splitting, because it's not just the sacrifice and the work that's gone into it, but it's that it makes me at least think, you know, don't they think about where they've been taken out of, what they were saved from, and they're dividing over, you know, pride or stupid little things when there's so much more at stake, you know, more lives to be that are lost out there. So it is sad when we see that. But then you look around and you see and you hear, you know, we've been in touch a lot with Poland. Our ladies are praying for their ladies and vice versa. And that's been a real encouragement to our ladies. They know them by name and they remember the names. And it's encouraging to them to know that even though they probably will never meet them, there's people over there that lives are being changed. Yeah. And then when they hear that the person they were praying for, the husband got saved, it really is encouraging. Yeah. And it's definitely worth it. Mark already talked a little bit about the men. So, I mean, I wasn't going to talk about the men anyway. I don't want to get sat down or something. It's really encouraging to see some of the men that have a zeal for the ministry. They really do. But with that, what's been a blessing to see is that the wives are deciding that they need to have the same zeal. So that's in 2 Corinthians 4, 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And then verse 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And one thing that we've done is we've been, the wives are getting more involved. There's five men that are, I think three of those, the ones that have expressed, like Marco said, desire to be pastors. But the other brother's also he wants to be a deacon. He was crushed when it wasn't a unanimous that he would be one of the deacons, and yet he didn't have any bad attitude or anything. He has a great attitude. He's working toward, you know, whatever it takes to get him there. So the women have gotten more involved. They're not only going, several of them that weren't going. There for a while, it was just only maybe five of us going to evangelism on Tuesdays. Now the wives of these men are going, and, well, one of them was already going. Two more are going to the evangelism with us. They've getting their own studies, and they're teaching the children. They're picking up some things, and they're also they're asking, what can we do, you know, to help our husband get to where he wants to be? And of course, that's where we come in. I think they've been asking Nana, Kelly, they've asked me some of the questions where, you know, what do we need to do? And the ones that haven't asked, I've taken upon myself to go to them, because I've seen some things where I feel like they do, you know, they could work on. And so I've gone to them and spent some time with them, taken them out to breakfast and said, you know, your husband really wants to have a ministry. But to do that, you have to be not only, you know, be backing him, saying, you know, good job, yeah, I'm glad you want it. You have to be part of it. You need to do some things too. And it's been a blessing to see how well they've taken it. They've not been offended. They've not, you know, kind of like, well, I already do something. What else can I do then? What is it I need to do? And so I'm encouraged to see these ladies that really are, they want their husbands to have this, and they see now that they are really, they have to be part of it. You know, I told them, it's not just his ministry. This will be your ministry. You have to be in there and help him. So that's been an encouragement to me. And it's not easy to talk, you know, someone tell me, you know, Marco will say, you need to talk to that sister. Well, why don't you tell Kelly, you know, y'all are the pastors, Mike and I aren't. But, you know, I'm the older woman, so I guess, you know, I need to take it up where I'm supposed to. But it has been an encouragement to me. I've told the men several times, Marco, Noah, and Mike, that these four ladies, now it's actually about five of them, are so eager to learn more. They're eager to do what they need to do. and they take things well. They not only take it when we tell, you know, I tell them, they say, well, what else? What else? If you see something else in me, please let me know. And that's not always what happens. So it's really a blessing to see that. Okay, so that's kind of with the ladies. The other thing I wanted to just shortly speak about was the church in Pachuca has always been really good. We've really, I think, impressed upon them the need to pray for other churches, but also the debt that they owe to this church because of the vision that this church had, they were able to hear the gospel. And so they pray. They've always been prayed real faithfully for the church here and for the ministries. But about a couple weeks ago, Mike had a desire to have like a special meeting speak or share more specifically how Oak Knoll got started, and through that how it came to be that they heard the gospel. And so he had a real burden to do that so that they would actually value what they have. Not only that they got saved, but the way that we meet, you know. And they've never seen any other way. You know, a few of them, the ones that left, so they're not there anymore, but have, you know, they get upset, they leave, they go to another church. Some of them come back until they get mad again, then they leave again, and it's back and forth. But the faithful people that we have now, this is what they've seen. And they do value it, but they've really not known where it came from or what it's like not to have that. So Mike felt like he, you know, he really wanted to share this. And in 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 and 2, I mean, I'm sorry, 2 and 3. And most of the people, I think for the majority showed up to the meeting at Noyes, right, for this? I think the majority of the church showed up, right? It says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. In verse 7, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And what he wanted to impress upon them, he started telling them a little bit of history about how the decisions that were made, how it was, you know, Brother Lindo came to start these meetings. And he went back a little further. I'm not going to go into that because all of y'all probably know the story. But he just wanted to impress upon them the decisions, the sacrifices that were made. And I'm not praising Brother Lindo and Miss Verlene more than, you know, above the Lord at all. But it was because they made these decisions and these sacrifices that the first mission conference was done. And that's why they've sent out missionaries, and that's why the people have heard the gospel down there. And so it was through that. And he, again, we were not praising them, you know, because we know it was the Lord, but it was through their sacrifices. And one of them was meeting in the name of the Lord. He said, y'all just take this for granted because this is what we've taught you. You know that this is the way the Bible teaches, but you don't know what some people paid, the price they paid to do this. And he mentioned my dad leaving the Baptist, Brother Lindo leaving, and what it cost them. And he told him, you know, pretty much they ended up with no support, and, you know, things that, friends. And he just went in, and, you know, he said, this is something that a price was paid for this. It's taught in the Bible, but, I mean, you know, they made a decision to do this. And so not only, we know many of you also, obviously, in those years, have sacrificed a lot so that Mexico could hear the gospel. And he also wanted the church to realize that at what cost it's been for them to have what they have. Like I said, they do value it to some degree, but at the end of the night, it was very obvious that it really hit them what some people have paid, you know, and they were asking Mike questions and all that. And it does seem to have made an impact on them. And what it says, so that you were examples to all that believe. These people do have, they really appreciate the church here. And after this meeting, this teaching Mike gave, I think they really understand more just where it really came from. They knew it was a church in San Antonio that sent missionaries, that helped us be down there, but they really had no idea what it took to meet in the name of the Lord, you know, for the cost it took for the first ones to do it. He said, you know, it didn't cost me a lot. I kind of got it, but it cost someone a whole lot. And in this case, we're talking about in the last few years, you know, with Brother Lindell and all those that started with him and have been here for years, and that's all of you that have sacrificed and prayed for us. And in that way, that is what I think Mark spoke a little bit about this morning. He took my verses, but it, you know, the examples. We want them. We don't want it to stop here. We want them to see this. And value it and realize this is what, you know, if we don't, he said, it's going to be like these other churches that are splitting. They've forgotten, or they don't value what they've received. This is a heritage. It's an amazing heritage we have. Amen. To meet the way we do, to have the examples that we've had, living examples that we've had to follow, and godly men that have sacrificed and have it's cost them a whole lot for us to have what we have. And so we as missionaries, at least that's been the burden on me, as Mike has pretty much decided that, you know, we're done moving, that us staying there, that we will be what we need to be so that they will see as an example. We aren't staying as pastor, elder, anything. We are staying to be under the ones that are left. But I, you know, we want to be that to them, that they will, even if nothing else, a reminder of this church, you know, that we are part of a place that sacrificed and paid a really high price so that they would have the gospel.
Amen.